The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Poolbeg Pharmaceuticals released their interim results for the first half of 2025 this morning, and here to talk us through is the CEO, Jeremy Skillington. Jeremy, how are you?
Very well now, very well, I must say.
Good to see you. Well, it's been a busy time for you guys with both interims and that significant update earlier in the week. But let's look at the interims to start with. What would you say are the key takeaways for investors?
Yeah, listen, we've had a very busy period, a very hardworking team. I think we finished the period here, you know, June 30th, obviously with 10 million cash in the bank, which is nice. That included, we had a recent kind of fundraise that was oversubscribed and upsized to 4.865 million. So that extends, you know, happily, nicely, our cash runway into 2027. I think importantly, that supports multiple key clinical milestones on the track. You're right, we mentioned we had a recent update about the beginning of, you know, starting our phase 2A clinical trial. I think we were happy to tell the markets that we'd had secured an approved bispecific antibody as part of that trial. That was something that you know, investors had been, you know, questioning for a while. So now the trial is at an advanced stage of preparation, and we've selected a very impressive group, ACT, or Accelerating Clinical Trials, who are blood cancer specialists, so ideally placed to run this clinical trial for us. So, you know, very happy with that. Get the trial going. As I say, where this is an open label trial, so the patients kind of come in, they'll get their drugs, the bispecific as well as POLB001. We can read the data very quickly, very easily. So the you know, the advantage then is that we have as I say, data coming through very rapidly. I think this, on the back of our orphan drug designation that we got from the US FDA back in May, makes it very kind of attractive from a partnering perspective. You know, there's multiple advantages there. So all very exciting in that front. We're also kind of moving forward, obviously, with our oral GLP-1 program and gearing that up for a proof of concept trial. So busy time. So lots going on at Poolbeg.
That's great. Well, you clearly have been quite busy. I want to dig a little bit deeper into some of those things you just talked about then. So there's the POLB001. Obviously, we had a chat earlier in the week about that. But for those who missed that, can you talk us through what the headlines were and what it means for you guys?
Yeah, as I say, you know, it's being a clinical stage by a pharmaceutical company, it's very exciting to be kind of progressing forward into the clinic to get that kind of important clinical data. And this is a phase 2A, which means it'll be in patients. So it'll be in these relapsed refractory multiple myeloma patients. So we've talked to a lot of pharma companies, and one of them have given us, you know, free of charge to Poolbeg, their approved bispecific antibody, which is on the market right now to treat these multiple myeloma patients. But obviously the issue that a lot of these drugs have is that they generate or cause to develop the cytokine release syndrome, cytokine storm. So we believe our drug, POLB001, can prevent that from happening in the first place. So they want to test that. And as I say, it can happen to up to, you know, 70% of patients. So there really is a need for a solution here. So I think we're in good shape. So the trial, as I say, where our lead investigator is Dr. Emma Searle. She's a consultant hematologist at the Christie in Manchester, honorary senior lecturer at the University of Manchester as well. So she'll be taking the charge of that. And we've got a few other UK sites as well, you know, part of that. And as I mentioned earlier on, single arm open label, we'll have data coming through very rapidly. And we're always talking to our, you know, potential pharma partners. And you know, the data coming through will be safe, you know, will be focused on safety and efficacy. And as I say, everyone needs to find a solution for this cancer immunotherapy induced cytokine release syndrome. And we believe we've got a very attractive proposition here with POLB001.
Well, clearly there's a lot of interest in POLB001 and, you know, what it could mean, and not just for cancer patients, but also, you know, the healthcare system and even pharmaceutical companies themselves. But can you break down, you know, for a layman like me, break down what makes it so potentially a game changer?
Yeah, I think as I mentioned earlier on, and this is the important aspect, is that, you know, the bispecific antibodies, as an example, and CAR T cell therapies, wonderful drug, right? They're wonderful drugs. They're actually seeing cures in some of these blood cancers in particular, multiple myeloma I mentioned. But we believe we can transform cancer care, because these, you know, drugs have to be given in these dedicated cancer centers, these specialist cancer centers, because of that risk of cytokine storm, cytokine release syndrome. So we believe we can prevent that. As I say, this is kind of a large number of patients get it. We can bring the treatments back into the community. So, you know, we kind of give the example, you know, if somebody is unfortunately diagnosed with, you know, multiple myeloma, they have to get down to the big city, down to London to get their treatments at the various hospitals in London. The Royal Marsden as an example. But if you can prevent CRS, you can stay at home. You can get at your local hospital. I mean, ultimately, maybe in your GP's or even at your home. So there's a lot of potential there if you can remove the cytokine release syndrome. So you're going to get a lot of benefits to not just patients' quality of life, of course, but you're going to take a lot of pressure off the healthcare system where these patients don't have to stay in hospital for a week or two for fear or risk that CRS develops. So again, as I say, we're helping, in these wonderful drugs that are these bispecific antibodies, an example. So we feel we can prevent the CRS from happening in the first place, which again, on two fronts will drive revenues from POD001, because that'll be an attractive proposition. But because these, and this is what's attractive to pharma, because their drugs now will be given in the community, they'll be getting to more patients, so they'll generate revenues on that front. So it's a wonderful opportunity for us, and I'd say excited to get the trial going. And ultimately, we did independent analysis last year. This is about a $10 billion market that we're kind of hoping to move into and play in. So very exciting time for the company.
Oh, it is, and I'm sure everyone's fingers crossed that comes through, because it really is a game changer for everybody. So switching gears here slightly, and so it seems that at the moment you can't really open a newspaper or turn on the TV without somebody talking about Ozempic or GLP-1 programs and all that. You've got your oral GLP-1 program, and with all the headlines and everything, I mean, this seems like a massive opportunity for Poolbeg, and how's progress going there? Can you
Yeah,
give us
no,
an update
the
on how it
Matt.
fits into the wider space of what you guys are doing?
Yeah, I mean, massive opportunity. As you say, the GLP-1s have exploded. A lot of people have taken them for, started off with diabetes and then more recently in obesity. And I think what happens is that kind of correlation that, there is dramatic weight loss and then you see benefits across your kind of your own health, where reduced cardiovascular risk, reduced improved kidney functions, et cetera. There's a lot of knock-on effects. Now, the majority of these GLP-1s are peptides that are given as injections. So we've collaborated with a group, AnaBio, who have an oral encapsulation technology. So you can encapsulate this GLP-1 peptide and take it orally. So we're making good progress to get that into a proof of concept clinical trial. This will be run by Professor Carel le Roux, who's globally recognized metabolic disease clinician. It'll be run at the University of Ulster. And as I say, the trial is, once it gets going, it'll be a very short, very rapid study. So we expect to have, impactful data in the first half of next year. So we're pushing that forward. And as I say, it'll be a relatively small trial, as I say, these proof of concept. So it won't be very long, it won't be very expensive, but it's about 20 obese subjects. So we'll have the data coming through, similar to POD001. We'll have the data very rapidly. It's an open label trial. So, what the hope is, and we've begun our discussions with the various pharma companies, and they're looking to, see this data as it comes through. So we do think there's a potential, for partnering, because, from a compliance standpoint, if you can move away from injections at all, everybody is happier. So we feel that with this encapsulation technology, take it with your breakfast in the morning, you'll have these patients will have this improved clinical condition, let's say, weight loss, et cetera. And but we want this proof of concept just to show that we can deliver this GLP-1 into systemic circulation by taking it orally. And I think what's exciting, particularly for us, about this particular technology that we're using, is that we've got a broad license into all metabolic diseases. So if it works for this GLP-1, we could potentially incorporate or encapsulate other peptides in the metabolic disease space. So again, that'll be attractive from a pharma partnering standpoint.
That's fantastic. I mean, everyone's going to choose an oral over a sort of injection, aren't they? I mean,
Correct.
so that's great. So, I mean, obviously, you've got that to look forward to, or investors have got that to look forward to. Is there anything else we got to look forward to now over the coming months?
I think just to summarize, I think we're in a good shape. As I say, we've got 10 million in the bank. That gives us a nice runway into 2027 to get these clinical milestones in both the POB001 and the oral GLP-1. As they're a terrific team that are executing on this plan, which is very, very good. And ultimately, and we always say this, I mean, the goal is to get this in human data, in patient data in the case of POB001, and in these obese patients for the oral GLP-1, and then to partner the programs. So we'll have very attractive data packages when it comes to partnering with pharma. And we continue discussions all the way along. They're monitoring our progress. And I say on, with positive data, then we can trigger those license deals, or indeed acquisitions. Who knows where this will go? But as I say, we're working in a space that's very attractive to pharma. So once we execute successfully, I think we'll be in a very good shape once the data comes through.
That's fantastic, Jeremy. So, put you on the spot a little bit here, but for those who are considering investment, why now and why should they invest?
Yeah, I think we're, as I say, mentioned, cash is quite comfortable. It takes us into 2027. Tough times for biotech, but I think we've got a nice runway. We've got a clear development path for both of our programs. And in next year, 2026, we'll have data coming through, which I think, with positive data, that'll certainly be attractive. Like the share price will certainly move on that. And I say ultimately, then we don't plan to take it forward into the more expensive clinical trials. That's where partnering comes in. And we've got a very expensive or very experienced partnering team here to get those transactions. So I think the timing is good with these multiple clinical milestones on the horizon.
Jeremy, it's always a pleasure speaking to you, and I'm really looking forward to catching up again soon.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Cheers.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.